as Liverpool qualify in style for the knockout stages of the Champions League, hitting Qarabağ of Azerbaijan 4-6. Alexis McAllister was a two-goal marksman. He probably should have had a hat-trick. Mo Salah scored a brilliant free kick. Florian Wirtz set up by Ekitike. Ekitike then scored the goal of the night. Brilliant individual goal. And Federico Chiesa then added six at the end. Great performance by Liverpool tonight. Goal line technology helped the first. McAllister with a header from a corner. Brilliant stand by Ekitike. Set up Wirtz to make it 2-0. Then a free kick. Szoboszlai rolled it short at the cop end. Mo Salah, his first ever free kick for Liverpool, made it three. A stunning individual goal by Ekitike. 13th goal of the season. Beat two players to score. McAllister made it five. Chiesa made it six. Really enjoyable night at Anfield. Liverpool 6, Qarabağ 0.
Steve Hunter there, wrapping up a resounding victory at Anfield. The biggest under Arne Slot, as the Reds cruise to a top eight finish in the Champions League league phase, and they book their place in the last 16 along the way. Coming up in this episode of The Reaction, we'll get the thoughts of the boss and Alexis McAllister. First though, to our pundits, former Reds Ray Houghton and Jay Spearing, who join myself, Mark Benstead, after the game.
Liverpool did everything they could do this evening, and it was an emphatic win in the end, Ray.
Yeah, it was. It was all about the start, though. You know, we knew Qarabağ wanted to get something out tonight's game. Were they going to try and frustrate Liverpool? I thought Liverpool, from minute one, were on top of them. Technically, they had one or two gifted players, but as soon as they went one behind, there was only ever going to be one winner. That first goal was very, very important. Alexis McAllister getting it. He seems to get a lot of goals, doesn't he, for the club. Gets into really good positions. Easily could have had a hat-trick tonight. Missed a golden opportunity when Moore put him through late on in the game. But I thought Liverpool played really well tonight. And it just shows you, the manager asked for them to respond to the defeat against Bournemouth for the weekend, and he got it. He got the perfect start tonight. He got the perfect 90 minutes from his players. Everyone played their part. The substitutes came on, wanted to go and show the manager what they could do, so he'll be delighted with that. But it's taken into the next game against Newcastle, which is important as well.
Yeah, it didn't necessarily have to win this evening to secure a top eight spot. It definitely didn't need to win with such a flourish, but a lot to be said for the way we got over the line tonight. It wasn't just a couple of goals and then box it off and go. It was goal after goal, and quality goals as well, albeit at times there was some slightly calamitous defending by the visitors as the game wore on.
Yeah, but you can only face what's in front of you. You can only deal with how they want to defend. If they want to defend by playing too much in their own box, then Liverpool have to take that on board and have to take it off them and punish them. And the felt that we did, obviously a real blow to maybe lose Jeremy Frimpong for maybe not too sure how long that'll be, to lose him so early on in the game was a blow, but we didn't let it affect us. You know, Watter came in and done an unbelievable job again, filling a new position from the week, from the weekend. So, yeah, listen, we were clinical in what we did. We were cutthroat. We went after goal after goal. Goals breed confidence. And, you know, to get a lot of different types of players on the score sheet, McAllister obviously getting the double, but seeing different people score will breed going into the Newcastle game coming the weekend. And like I spoke about before, that, you know, to build on a clean sheet for me is your fundamental. And then we were always going to create chances tonight. It was just about being clinical and finishing them off. And that's exactly what we did.
Yeah, created plenty of chances. Scored six goals along the way. Two of them were scored by Alexis McAllister. Possibly should have had three. Let's get his thoughts on tonight. He's inside speaking with Pete.
Well, Mac, a great performance tonight and through to the knockout stages.
Yeah, really important result, performance. I think it was good, especially second half. I think we pressed really well, had the opportunities to score some goals, which is important for our confidence. So, happy that we went through now. And now it's time to think about the Premier League. Yeah.
Two goals for you, and they were the gambles that you took, weren't they, for the first and the second, joining in with the final phase of play. You must be delighted with the goals.
Yeah, I love getting in the box. I love scoring goals. I know that I don't do it very often, but I really like it. And I think with the change in halftime, I went a little bit higher on the pitch, and that allowed me to get on the box a little bit more. Second goal was a little bit lucky, but good. And then still thinking about the third one. Could have been a hat trick, my first one. But the important thing is that it was a good performance, a good result, and now it's time to rest.
clean sheet as well. The manager spoke about it, didn't he, before the game, that it was important to improve in both boxes. That's exactly what you did tonight.
Yeah, that was the idea. I think the attitude and everything from the guys, it was really good, especially running backwards, sprinting. So I think it was a good performance, again, especially second half. Maybe first half we were a little bit too open, and that's not what we want. But there is positive, there is negative. Now we have to analyse the game, think about it and go for the next one.
The positives, connections on the pitch as well, and in particular Hugo up front, you know, Florian as well, they're forming a real bond, aren't they, together?
Yeah, they love playing small passes between each other. They have an immense quality. I think everyone can see that. So now we are trying to adapt to them a little bit more, and them to us as a team. So the quality is there. It's just about getting to the right spaces to score goals or be dangerous. But they are really good guys, so we are happy to have them. We know their quality, and now we are going to demand a lot from them as well.
You mentioned back to the Premier League, which is what it will be now, but three home games back to back, that's so important, isn't it, that this place is reinvigorated again with that big result tonight?
Yeah, that's what we want. We know that we went through a difficult period, especially after the season that we had last season. We thought that this one was going to be almost the same, but it wasn't, and we have to deal with that. There is a still positivity, still Champions League to play, FA Cup, so for me it's about keep improving, because that's what we need to do if we want to win something.
And just finally, knock out Champions League football here again at Anfield under the lights, that there's nothing more magical than that.
Yeah, I love it. So really looking forward to that. Now we have to wait to see who we play, but I'm pretty sure that it's going to be a special one.
Well done, mate.
On the subject of who Liverpool could play, the draw is in part predetermined based on where you finish now. So the four teams, depending on different scenarios, Liverpool could face in the last 16, Club Brugge or Galatasaray, Juventus or Atletico Madrid. That's the four different teams that are in the mix for the Reds in the next rounds. Draw takes place on Friday. In terms of his performance, I sort of said it going into his interview, played well, played different positions up the field, scored a couple of goals, should have scored three goals.
Yeah, you just said that in the interview, didn't you, that he's still thinking about that third opportunity that he had. It's nice to see him smiling, you know, it's nice to see the boys back happy. You know, They've had some indifferent results, had some criticism. You've got to deal with that when you're a Liverpool player as best you can. And then you've got to go out there and produce, and that's what they've done tonight. You know, I thought the more the game went on, the more Alexis became an influence in the game. I thought Dominic was absolutely outstanding once again tonight. I thought he was our best player by quite a distance. He covers the ground. He looks super confident at the moment. I don't really remember the goalie making a save in the game. You know, he had nothing to do. He's rather redundant, which is good. That's what we want from the Liverpool keeper, particularly at home. But yeah, every aspect of the game is good tonight. You wouldn't even know about Ryan playing at centre back tonight because he didn't have anything to do. You couldn't tell if that was a good position for him or not.
Well, two midfielders playing your back four eventually for the bulk of the game, given the injuries as well. And it's credit to that they kept Carabao at bay for.
Yeah, I mean, it was because of. We knew with Carabao they're going to try and play out from the back, which I think encourages us. Good for. I like when teams try to do that against Liverpool, because Liverpool are very good at pressing. And when they got that part of their game right, they were on top of them, and then they were trying to play in dangerous areas, losing it, and it could have led to more opportunities. But it was just, I think, the energy levels were so different to what I've seen on Saturday against Bournemouth. I thought we were a little bit more low-key tonight, on the front foot, taking it to the opposition. And when we do that as a side, we look completely different. When we play the ball quickly, we're decisive in what we're doing, playing the balls into the right areas, runners from midfield, we look a different team. When we play it, get the ball back, play it, get the ball back, we're a bit predictable. Teams can get back into positions to defend against us. But when we move it quicker, there's not many teams that can live with them.
It was interesting in that interview, Jay was talking about the fact, you know, plenty to play for, still win things, FA Cup, Champions League. Do you get a sense that the mentality has kind of shifted within the group collectively, and it's now, well, actually, the priority is the Champions League and the FA Cup. The Premier League's too far away now, so there's a natural lift when these games come around because they can win something in them, whereas they probably can't win the Premier League now. And if so, is that understandable?
I don't think there's a mentality shift and they're deciding on when they want to step up and perform or they want to turn up. I think in the Premier League, okay, to win the Premier League might be out of their way, but the Premier League is still fighting for top four. So that's their bread and butter. You know, the FA Cup comes every, maybe, is it a couple of weeks? The Champions League now disappears for a good couple of weeks while the playoffs are done. I don't think it's a shift in mentality. The players thinking, you know what, let's put all our eggs in the baskets for them two competitions, because the bread and butter is the first and foremost of what we need. Because, like, touch wood, you know, we go all the way to in the Champions League and we win it to guarantee that we'll be there next season. But if for whatever reason, you know, something happens and we don't, then our bread and butter in the Premier League, we need to finish in the top four. This club needs to be in that first and foremost. So I wouldn't say there's a change in the mentality shift of when they want to turn up and when they want to play and perform. I think it just, obviously, they realise for silverware that this club is, to play for this club, you have to be fighting for. They understand that they're the two big competitions that they're going to have to turn up and do well in. But the bread and butter for me, the Premier League would be the first and foremost.
Never ever subscribe to you've got to prioritise one competition over the other. When you play at Liverpool Football Club, something I learned very, very quickly is every game you go into is important. It's as important as the next one, as the next one, as the next one, as the next one. So you can't say, oh yeah, well, what we'll do is we'll not play as well here, but we'll play much better there.
Playing devil's advocate, though, in the modern game, is there not evidence that managers do prioritise different competitions with selections, with approach, with how they manage?
No, at different clubs, but not at this club.
No, I think what you'll see is, at certain times, Mark, you've got to give some of your squad players some game time. So there'll be certain matches that you'll say to them to keep them happy, because you can't keep the elites... keep them on the bench all the time. They're not going to be happy just sitting there every match, just being a bit part player. You've got to say to them, look, there are certain games that are coming up that we feel that you'll do well and you'll start in the matches for. You've got to entice them. You've got to give them that carrot that they'll want to do well for the club. And that's how you keep your squad as happy as you can. But I know, and the manager will know, when it's the big games that's coming up, he'll have his best 11. And that'll be for the big games that have got coming up, whether that's in the league, the FA Cup, or the Champions League. It's been shown time and time again, and every manager's done it over the years. You might, early on, against teams that you think you should beat, play maybe a weaker team, but as you get further and further in the competition, the more you're going to play your best side.
What kind of almost takes that whole debate off the table just now is the fact that, having finished in the top eight tonight, we don't have that playoff round, so the next few weeks are Premier League, one FA Cup game, that's it. So it makes things a lot simpler and allows the manager to focus on the task at hand, as you've just spoken about, Jay, because there's less distractions. Whereas if we had finished out with the top eight, it becomes a far more muddier picture in front of us.
It also gives time between games. You know, instead of having a Saturday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, you know, continuously, we now go into a period where we'll also, I know we've got obviously three games come up quickly in succession going forward, but there will also be a break of where injuries may come back. You can rotate the squad. Players can get rest because of the way that they're going at the minute and the squad depth because of the injuries. You know, a lot of these players are having to play, like we said before, from Saturday straight into to the game tonight. So, you know, going forward, now was qualifying and not having to play them playoffs games, it helps everything going forward with it. Do you know what I mean? It gives the manager opportunity to rest people, change rotation, but also keep prioritising game by game, knowing there's a breather in between each one.
We saw that as well with the game tonight panned out, Jay, and the fact that in the closing stages he could take Verts off, he could take Ekitike off, and let the younger lads soak up some minutes. And those extra 15-20 minutes on the sidelines will do the likes of Ekitike or Ward a good for Newcastle.
They don't seem a lot. You know, for somebody that might look at the game and go, he's got 20 minutes rest, but that 20 minutes rest is a hell of a lot. The amount of work rate that he does. You know, as soon as we scored the third, I think the three of us all looked at each other and went, right, who can we take off? You know, like, you know, get as many off as we can, because obviously going forward, the games and the injuries, again, picking up the frimpong one. And then the bonus side is, you know, scoring goals early allows him to give opportunities to the young players to come and get more minutes, the Rios, the Treys, and even Amara. You know, like Steve Hunter touched on there, for Amara it's a huge thing to know the manager is still trusting in him to give him a fair chance opportunity to go and play in front of Anfield, and they're nights that they'll always remember. But yeah, as a squad and as a whole, it was a huge result tonight, because it gives them a little bit more flexibility to rest a few people and bigger gaps in between games.
Confidence is a massive part of being a footballer. It's not just about your ability, you need your confidence, because if you don't show your confidence, if you've not got confidence, you won't show what you can do. You'll go out there and you'll be hesitant, when you get in possession of the ball, you'd be worried what the crowd are saying about you. But tonight, you've seen a very good performance from all the players. The crowd were definitely on side again. They were absolutely ecstatic with what they've seen. And even when the players are going off, they're going off to a round of applause because you're doing well. Whereas when you're not playing well and things are going against you, you're not going off with the same level of applause from the supporters. And that is very telling as well. So the players tonight will be delighted with how they've reacted to the defeat, the reaction of the crowd, and how they've played in themselves going into the next game against Newcastle, and they can take that confidence into that match.
Yeah, may as well just throw up the fixtures coming up on the horizon for Liverpool, just to underline the point that now there are one or two gaps in the schedule where the manager will be able to rest players, work on the training ground with players. He won't have to ask individuals to go above and beyond and put themselves out on the park when they're not quite feeling it. That is a situation in front of us. You know, Saturday, then Sunday, there is a midweek game at Sunderland to come up in a couple of weeks' time. But after that, it's a lot of Saturdays, which makes things a lot easier for Arna and his backroom staff to plan for.
Yeah, so the next big one's obviously Saturday, but then knowing you've got from Saturday to Sunday, you can mix your week up. You know, you can give the boys maybe a little bit of extra time recovery. You can give them the sessions might not be as intense, because then going into the, after the City game into the Sunderland one, by the time the difference, you've had that 6 or 7 days rest, you don't mind going back into a midweek. It's when it's Saturday, Tuesday. That's when your body starts to feel it more. If you go Saturday to Sunday to then play midweek Wednesday, by the time you hit that Wednesday, your body's still in a decent condition that, you know, you've recovered plenty enough time to then go on to the next. So yeah, it's that shows getting into that and getting through just makes that all look a hell of a lot prettier than what it might have looked like.
We touched on young Nalo a moment ago. Just to elaborate for us, you know, Steve made the point about the importance of that experience, and I guess he has to, it's really good for him, isn't it, to have something that isn't scarring for him, basically, to put it in a blunt term. He's had two very difficult experiences in his first two experiences with the first team. Yep. So to be able to have something like tonight, which is only whatever it was, 10, 15 minutes or something, and come through it unscathed, no drama, that's massive here. We can't kind of overstate it.
No, I don't think you can, because, you know, as an 18-year-old boy moving away from home at the age of 16 to then come and play for one of the biggest clubs in the world, to get an opportunity twice to play for the first team, the manager's trusting you to go and do it, to be very unfortunate to be sent off on both occasions, mentally, that can really, really damage you going forward. You know, and it can knock your confidence, it can make you think you're not good enough. But I will say one thing about Omar is that he has been outstanding in his mentality off the field and on the field since he's been back around the 21s and going training with the first team. He's took it in his stride. He knows what mistakes he's made. He can't do nothing about them, and now it's looking forward. And probably within the last 2 months for us, he's been a real colossal in our under-21s performances. And that's earned him the right to then go and train with the first team again. And it's all come round in a full circle to then get another opportunity with the first team and the trust of the manager. Because, you know, the manager didn't have to put him on with 20 minutes to go and move Ryan into midfield. He could have left it how it was because, you know, we were comfortable. Ryan was comfortable at centre-back. But the manager gave him that opportunity and it gave him a hell of a confidence leading in. And fingers crossed he can play for us on Friday night.
And what is really...
what is the point?
Yeah. Priority's got the job. That's the word. But what is particularly nice about it is, you know, it was a year ago in the final game of the league phase in Eindhoven when he had the first of those difficult experiences. So skip on an entire calendar year. He gets his redemption moment, if we want to call it that, and hopefully this will be the beginning of his real Liverpool career, if we put it like that.
Yeah, and a big thing for him as well was be able to go on the pitch with Rio and Trey. Like, you know, behind the scenes, day to day, the three of them are like three amigos. You know, wherever where one goes, the other two follow, and they are literally inseparable. You know, I know Rio and Trey are training with the first team more regular, but as soon as they're done, they're back over to find Amara, and the three of them are walking around everywhere. They are a great trio of like young lads with good personalities. So for him to get an opportunity to go on the pitch and play with them, you know, at Anfield, and to win quite comfortably and play well, all of them. Yeah, it's a fantastic night for the academy and for the Freedom.
Yeah, fingers crossed he can appear for the 21s on Friday night alongside Jay. You'll be able to find out if he does, because that game is live on LSC TV.
Oh, sounds well, didn't I?
As the Reds head down to Brighton. Set your recorder, you can watch yourself. Well. Okay, yeah, the manager putting some faith in the young players tonight, including Nell. Let's find out what he's made of the game as a whole. He's inside, speaking with Pete.
Well, boss, congratulations, dominant performance and third place finish now on the Champions League table.
Yeah, very positive. This is what we want. We want to be there in the last 16. It's only 2 years ago that we as a club played Europa League. We went out against Atalanta.
So to be there in a Champions League again in the last 16 is what we want, and that's also what we got today.
Early goal, and it went from that to ruthless, really. You must have been so pleased with how both boxes worked. You were talking about it before the game.
Yeah, although at 2-0, I think we got multiple chances to make it 3, and that I've seen this season before as well. But the positive of today was that there wasn't a spell of 5, 6, 7 or 8 minutes where we struggled. I think we were dominant throughout 90 minutes or 95. And as a result of that, we didn't concede. And some great goals. I think many more opportunities, many more chances to make even more goals. But also very pleasing in the last minute that when they had a counter-attack, when you're 6-0 up, I see so many players in our box defending. And that's what I've seen a lot this season. But sometimes not throughout the whole game. 3 days after we had a hard game or an intense game, and now it's up to us to show that we can bring the same energy again against Newcastle, where of course Newcastle is a different beast than Karabakh.
The connections are so impressive, though, and there's a real feeling amongst Liverpool fans that you have a centre forward that might become iconic. His hold up play, his link play, everything about him tonight was truly Liverpool, really.
Yeah, for sure. He was special in a lot of offensive moments, and that's really important for a number 9. In our style of play, if we want to be as dominant as we are, our number 9 or our attackers are also very important in their work off the ball. And throughout large parts of the game, that was good today as well. So, of course, fans should enjoy the great moments on the ball, but you can only have great moments on the ball if you're good off the ball as well. And I think that's what we were today.
Maka almost had a match ball as well. He said he doesn't think he scored a hat-trick before. He came very close to getting one tonight.
Yeah. First set piece, another one, and last week we scored a set piece as well, or a few days ago against Bournemouth. I think we were a constant threat in set pieces throughout the whole game, which we've been in the Champions League in more games this season. So a good goal from Aka there, and his second one was, where he's good at, he has the timing of the run to come in front of goal, and that's why he almost scored a third one, because that was a great timing of run, great pass from Mo. Unfortunately, he couldn't score his first.
You cope with adversity as well tonight, Wata having to come in and play at right back. You've spoken so many times about the consummate professional that he is to come in and do that, but there is the other side of it, which is another injury, which was so disappointing to see Jeremy limp off in the infancy of the game.
Yeah, that's a big, big, big disappointment, because that's also what I meant 2 days ago. I think quite a lot is being made of what I said, that it might, I didn't say it did, but it might have helped us going out in the Champions League. I hated it to go out, let that be clear. But in the period when we were 6, 7 or 8 points clear, we could every time start with the best, by far the best team in the league. And what would have happened if we had a double program there and we had injuries like this from Jeremy Frimpong? I cannot look back how it then would have turned out. Because we were the best team in the league, but we were also the best team in the league because we had them all available. And I think this season has showed that we have a very good team, but if we are not everyone available, we are not as strong as if when everyone is available. And that is probably our next step, that if we do have injuries and we don't have 11 like some other clubs have, we only have a few, that we can keep up with the same level. And if that's possible, then we can win all 4 trophies. But as long as that's not the case, it's we compete for everyone. But it, of course, makes it harder to win everyone of it.
Bring on the knockouts. Well done, boss.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.
Bring on the knockouts, indeed. We'll pick up on his last point in a minute, but I want to go back to the earlier part of the interview. It's something he spoke about. We didn't have the spell in the game where we dropped off effectively and gave the incentive to the opposition. That's something spoke to Arna about over in France last week, and it's something that had been a bit of a problem at times this year, where good in a game, and then all of a sudden the intensity drops, you lose focus, and then it gives a pathway back into the match for your opponents. That wasn't the case tonight.
Yeah, when you're dominating a game, you have to keep dominating it. You can't sit back and allow the opposition back into it. You have to find a way of keeping on top and keep pressing as much as you can, even if it's just retaining the ball, but you're dominating that, not allowing them to do anything to affect the scoreline as it was. And we didn't do that tonight. I never at any stage in the game felt that Carabag was going to be a presence in the match. You know, once we got the first goal, it was just a matter how many you were going to get. And we got six, it could have been even more. You know, there was plenty of other opportunities created from the players. But it was just lovely to see everyone happy. You know, there's been a lot of negative talk around the club at the moment, talk about should the manager leave or not, which I personally don't agree with at all. I think it's a load of nonsense. And it's just nice to see everyone back believing in each other, trusting each other. And that goes from the manager. It's nice to see him smiling as well, because it couldn't have been easy what he's gone through after everything that was so positive last season. And he knows he's in a transformation period where he's changing the system, he's changing the personnel, and he's trying to get everything right. And it doesn't come automatically. You have to work at it, work at it, work at it. You'll have some ups and you'll have some downs, but it's how you respond. And they responded so positively tonight. Now can we have a really good second half of the season where everyone gets back to fitness, and then you've got competition for places, and then that confidence and drive going into matches.
Well, that's it. He can head home smiling and happy this evening, but he only has a very small window before he has to deal with the reality he's facing, which is a mounting casualty list, and a mounting casualty list in specific areas of the team. Really limited options at the back, Jay. It is going to be a challenge to find a solution. It's all very well doing it for a game like this, but in the Premier League against Newcastle with what they bring, it's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, we're all doing it. You know, we're hoping that the Joe Gomez one, we don't know the ins and outs of it. We're hoping that's just a knock on, maybe like a bit of a dead leg, that maybe, you know, the manager felt the right decision was to leave him out tonight and again get him ready for the weekend. We obviously know the Ibu Kanate one is a sad family one. So, you know, we understand that the manager would have given time off to go and to be with his family. So fingers crossed he can be back as well for come the weekend. So there's two players that, you know, come back into the picture. The injuries that we have at the minute are probably a little bit more longer term and probably will be back for the weekend. But that week from, you know, Saturday to Sunday, well, then now give the manager a little bit of time to maybe think about, you know what, going into them next couple of games, what have I got, you know, who's back, who's fit, can I work on something going into the next lot of games? But, you know, leading into Saturday straight away, we'll probably be in his office in the morning asking, he'll be asking us for maybe a couple of extra players, you know, for the extra session for the lads that didn't get on. But a lot of them will probably be wrapped in cotton wool because, you know, it's a quick turnaround again and they're going to have to get ready to get against a real fast attacking, difficult, aggressive Newcastle side come Saturday night evening.
Yeah, Calvin Ramsey has been in and around the first team at times on the bench at the weekend, was involved in the League Cup game earlier in the season, probably earmarked to be in your squad for Brighton on Friday. Is there a chance that he's one that maybe comes into the reckoning, just even if it's just as cover for the first team, given where he plays and given how limited the options could be, depending on where Joe is at?
Yeah, listen, I don't know the exact ins and outs, but I don't think Calvin was already originally planned in the Champions League squad at the start of the season, so that's why he probably wouldn't have been involved tonight. Good leading into the weekend, he's been involved in the squads. I think he'll be potentially, after the injury that we've seen tonight, he'll be around it. With Joe and Ibu hopefully coming back as well, it'll be more of a case of a cover, I would guess so. And with even Wattag, you know, Wattag's gone in at right back tonight and performed incredibly well. You know, Dom can play there. You know, with the illness of Curtis Jones, he's, you know, he could maybe come into the right back position or go back into midfield. And, you know, there's plenty of options. But yeah, listen, Rambo, I'm sure, will be in the conversation over the next 2 days to decide on whether he will come to Brighton with us or he'll be around the first team come Saturday.
Putting on the hat of a supporter heading home from the game here tonight, Ray, They will probably look at it and say, we've lost two right backs now, this looks like another short to medium term injury. It's going to be a few weeks. If it's a muscle injury, it could very well be maybe 4 weeks or whatever, we don't know. I'm guessing here, but it's not going to be next week he's back. But the evidence of tonight, the window's open, go out and buy someone. Is there an argument for that, or is there also the argument you stick to the long-term approach that the club have operated and done so successfully in the last 5-10 years?
Well, there'll always be an argument to go out and bring someone in, you know, but it's down to the management, it's down to the owners, what they want to do as far as spending money. Do they want to wait till the end of the season and bring in the right personnel that's going to be here for the long-term future rather than a stopgap for a few months? The other things that will be assessed by the coaching staff, the management, they'll all sit down and say, right, where are we? Who's fit? Who's near fitness? is it a real concern for us? I'd rather look at the positives rather than the negatives. Positives tonight, Ekitiki up front, going to be a real player. This lad's going to be an absolute superstar, in my opinion. I said it a few months ago, when he first came into the club, I thought all he needed to do was put on a bit of weight. He just needs to get a little bit stronger. But pace, touch, awareness, positional play, I think he's better in the air than what we've seen. I think if you put in the right delivery, this is a player we probably didn't think he was as good as he was going to be, but what I've seen of him, absolutely outstanding. Why don't we start talking about the positive there? Dominic Szoboszlai, he can play it right back, but let's play him in the midfield where he's so dominating at the moment. His attitude in the air, his running ability, you look at him, he's super confident at the moment. He has a real belief in his qualities, what he's about. You can see, I wouldn't say it's arrogance, it's just that he's passing the ball and he knows exactly where it's going to go, and he's just getting around the pitch, he's helping out defensively. Every aspect of his game is there at the moment, it's on point. So that's where you want to play him. I don't think you need to play him at right back anymore. I think them days have gone. You've got to play him in the position where he's going to excel and dominate. And at the minute, playing in the midfield for Liverpool at the moment, he's been absolutely outstanding, as he was again tonight.
See, it's your job to bring the positivity. It's my job just to, poke you around a little bit, It can all be sweetness and light. Just to return back to what comes next in the Champions League, potentially, I sort of ran through the teams who were kind of in the mix. Again, there's a lot of ifs, buts and maybes, but at least it's down to four options. Brugge, Galatasaray, Juventus, Atletico Madrid are the four teams potentially in front of us. Is the one of those that you look at and you think, I'd like that one rather than the others, either for ease of progress or just the experience or something different, or you don't care?
I think it's probably really difficult to pick. They're all in them areas and in a knockout for a reason. They've had a decent Champions League run. For me, the most important thing is Anfield. And I think whoever comes to Anfield, we have to represent ourselves in the way that we have done tonight. Get at them, get the crowd behind you, play the way that we want to play. Anybody that comes here, it'll be electric. The fans will get behind it. It'll be an unbelievable atmosphere. And we have to be fully confident going into it. And just, it doesn't matter who rocks up. We have to be Liverpool Football Club and get after them. And we can create. We've had special nights before at Anfield. And I'm sure it'll be an unbelievably special one again going forward into the next.
I think what this is showing is there's a lot of good teams that have missed out in the top eight. You've got last season's champions, last season's runners-up, have not made it into the top eight. That's how competitive it's been in many respects, and you're going to get that. But that's not to say that they can't come good in the last 16. So you have to be prepared for whoever you're going to play against. Like we did tonight, you give them the respect that they deserve, but then you go out there and you play to your potential. And that's what Liverpool have done tonight, and that's what they have to do when it gets to the round of 16. Whoever you're going to play against, you have to be prepared and be as professional as you can.
Newcastle, our next opponents, obviously missed out on a place in the top eight, having started the day in those positions. They now find themselves having to go through that playoff round. The eventual opponents in the last 16 could be one of either Barcelona or Chelsea as well. I just wonder how the disappointment of tonight might impact on them going into the weekend, Jay. It's sort of two different things. We've had this thumping victory, we've sealed our place, we sort of sailed through, we know we don't have these midweek games to come on the horizon the next month or so. In contrast, they've fallen out of that top eight, difficult games coming up, and they come here potentially more deflated, and also having had a decent workout in Paris against...
I was literally just about to say, playing against PSG away won't be easy physically, mentally. They're an incredibly good team, they're incredibly fast. Ball possession was probably, I haven't seen the stats, but I'm guessing the PSG had a lot more of the ball than Newcastle did. So it would have been a real good test for Newcastle. Them coming to us off the back of missing out just so slightly, yeah, it will have a little tiny effect on the mentality. They'll be disappointed. Liverpool have obviously had a lot more of an easier night, if you'd say so. We had a lot more control of the game. We were in ball possession. It was all about us. We controlled the game in the tempo that we wanted it to look at. So yeah, if you look at it, their little small tweaks, Liverpool probably come into the game the weekend maybe with a little bit of an upper hand, but I don't think you can fall into a trap of thinking that it's going to be easy. Newcastle have got a lot of very, very good players. This is Startley Sully coming into form for them, Harvey Barnes, Gordon, even Murphy on the side. They're solid all around and they're a good outfit, so Liverpool are going to have to kind of push everything aside and just concentrate solely on what's happening.
I don't think, because what happened tonight, that's a good result for them. Going to wait to...
positives, right?
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying, from Newcastle's point of view, they won't be disappointed. They've gone away to last year's champions and come away with a credible point. And that's a good result as far as they're concerned. You know, a lot of people thought they were going to go there and lose comfortably enough, but they didn't. So they might be buoyed by that coming into the game against Liverpool.
Right. It's one thing finding positives don't find them for the teams they're going to play coming up on the weekend, right?
Put it in perspective.
Interesting, went to a back five tonight. Voltomada did start. Sometimes he's been left out of some of the bigger games, but he did start through the middle this evening. In terms of whatever mood Newcastle are in, Liverpool will definitely have more of a spring in their step, given the margin of victory tonight. It's actually the biggest victory under Arne Slot since he came in. After a couple of heavy wins against West Ham United, this one supersedes that, 6 goals put past the Azerbaijanis this evening. And there is something to be said about that. You know, it would be easy, especially knowing that a win would be enough to seal the top four place. Just say, you know, Jay, we're 3-0 up, let's just wrap it now. But actually, there was an appetite generally within the group to go and get a little bit more and add to the scoreline.
Yeah, because I think if you listen to McAllister's interview, he said, you know, scoring goals breeds confidence. You know, being clinical in the way that we were, keeping a clean sheet first and foremost, breeds confidence from the back line right the way through the team. I felt he was right in what he said. You know, even the manager saying that, you know, right at the end, everybody was sprinting back. There wasn't anybody, you know, jogging, walking. Everyone was sprinting to make sure that clean sheet stayed intact, even being 5-6-0 up in the game. And that just shows a real desire from the team to, as a whole, to build on that. And, you know, the manager questioned, saying that in both boxes we need to improve. The team have gone out there and done it tonight. You know, they were tight in our own box. Like we said, I don't think Alisson's really had a real important save to make to keep it, you know, 0-0 or 2-0 or 3-0, like the manager mentioned. But then when we've got into their box, we've been real clinical and we've found the back of the net, and we probably should have scored a lot more goals.
There's times in matches you play against someone and you can sense there's goals in the game for you. You just know you're playing the opposition. You've got one, you've got two, and you go, you know what, we could sit back here and we'll end up winning the game 2-0, but there are goals in it, and midfielders are all right. I've not got many for the season. I'm going to get one or two tonight. And that's what it seemed like watching the game tonight, that players' confidence grew and grew. They were making better runs into the box. Alexis said he changed at half-time slightly from a little deeper role into a more attacking role. I think it suits him when he's higher up the pitch because he sees things quicker when he's up there, the little threaded through balls, the little one-twos, the little gimmies. It was a joy to watch at times. The one and two touch football was excellent. Running off the ball was much better, much more purposeful, into good areas where you can affect the game. The delivery of the ball, Mo's ball over the top to pick out Alexis Rum, absolutely first class. That's what you're looking for, game in, game out. Not the little pass it, get it back, pass it, get it back, not going anywhere. When Liverpool, as I said, play quicker, runners from midfield into the box, they look a different team.
But how do you then take that into the weekend, that kind of sharpness, that sort of desire for goals? Because it was there as the game went on. It was
you pray you're going to get it.
But that, you know, or is it just one of those unquantifiable things as footballers? You know, how do you try and make sure that belief, that energy, that desire is there come 8 o'clock on Saturday when Newcastle
bust up? It just seems to roll in. You know, you've come back off a good result. Players are playing well. Your passing's done well. Your running's done well. Your tackling's done well. Everything seems to flow. Your set pieces look, you know, a lot better. Attacking ones, we scored off one. Everything just seems to flow, and you gain that confidence. And, you know, McAllister mentioned it, the manager mentioned it, it's a good night all round, you know, and everyone will come away from that positive. So the positive momentum going into training tomorrow, being around the build, will be positive. The minus one on Friday, it will be positive. The manager will obviously have to maybe tweak a few things because it'll be a completely different style of team they're going to go and play, but everything will be positive going forward. The manager might, you know, speak to personally, like one individual about, you know, do you know what, maybe next time, could you do this? You know, I love the way you do this, but could you do this? You know, it won't be anything negative. It'll just be solely going forward, positive, leading into the weekend, because the players will just take everything into it.
Training's not going to be a problem the next few days. Training's going to be great. Everyone's going to be coming in on a high. They'll all be delighted the way things have gone. They've had a bit of negativity after the Bournemouth defeat. That's hurt them individually, hurt them collectively, hurt the manager. You know, he doesn't want to hear negative situations like that. So he wants to be positive. He wants his team to be positive. And in the next few days, training will be brilliant. Everyone will be looking forward to the game on Saturday evening against Newcastle. But then you've got to go and perform.
Everything's good when you're winning. That's the simplest thing in football. And okay, we're going to take a short break just now. We'll come back more from the boys on tonight. And also, we'll look ahead in more detail to what does lie next for the Reds. That is that game here on Saturday night under the lights against Newcastle United. We're back soon.
The Liverpool FC retail winter sale is on now. Save up to 70% on selected items, including LFC label fashion and souvenirs. Save 20% on selected Adidas, including 25-26 season home kit. And all Red members save an additional 10%. The Liverpool FC retail winter sale is on now.
At your official LFC stores, online at liverpoolfc.com/store and on the official LFC store app.
Jay Spearing and Ray Houghton are still with me, reflecting on the emphatic 6-0 victory against Karabakh in the Champions League, but also now turning our attention to what comes next, and that is the game against Newcastle United on Saturday in the league. And of course, the game up at St James's Park, second match of this season, was a bit of a classic late drama. At the point in the season when all the late goals in Liverpool's games were going our way, things have changed a little since then, but it was an amazing end to proceedings, and it was a game in which it was Ryo Ngamoa who was the headline maker in the end, Jay.
Yeah, it was. It was a moment that probably as an academy we won't forget, with the all work that we did for the last 18 months about him getting in the final third and getting in that back post. So it was an unbelievable finish, an unbelievable moment for him to score his first goal. But I remember the game, Liverpool were in full control. You know, we scored a fantastic goal from Ryan. That's something I'd love to see him add more to his game, you know, shooting from a distance. He's got that power and that shot on him. You know, Anthony Gordon with the rash tackle, it was a terrible tackle. You know, you never like to see people get sent off, but it was incredibly late, right down the back of Virgil's calf. But yeah, Liverpool, for me, in the end, with everything, that the way the game went, they should have been out of sight. We allowed Newcastle to come back in, but then, yeah, Rio stepped up and got us the winner.
Yeah, it was an amazing end to proceedings, as I mentioned, sort of half in jest, but from a serious point of view, it was at the point when late drama went in our favour. That script has been rewritten as the campaign has gone on. But these games with Newcastle historically have had drama, but there's also been a bit of niggle in the meetings between the two teams in recent seasons.
It's never boring, is it? There's always something to talk about in matches, in the matches between the two sides. And this was an incredible game, because Liverpool at 2-0 up, look, in total control, playing against 10 men, you're thinking they're going to see it out quite comfortably. All credit to Newcastle. I mean, they had a real goal with 10 men to get it back to 2-2. And then they did what you should never do in football. They sat back. It was as if, all right, we're happy, we've just got the point, we're just going to sit back now. Where they had the initiative, they were on the front foot, Liverpool were struggling, they sat back, and then Rio came up with that fantastic goal to give Liverpool all 3 points. It had everything in the game, you know, everything that you want in the game. You know, the fans really joined in, because there was so much happening within the 90 minutes. You know, it had you on the edge of your seat. That's the sort of football you want to see. You know, you want to see excitement, you want to see end-to-end stuff, both teams going at it at 100 mile an hour, you know, end-to-end football. It's great to watch that. I think it'll be similar here on Saturday. I think Newcastle, you know, the fans will demand that they come and have a go. The form of late has been indifferent. You know, they need to start picking up, if you like, if they're going to make a real chance to get into the top four. And for Liverpool now, it's, you know, you've had your little blip against Bournemouth. Get back to where you were when you had them 13 games unbeaten. This is the first tonight of that hopefully successful run between now and then.
Rio took his goal so well to win that game at St James's Park. He had all the headlines, he was on all the back pages, he was the person everyone was talking about, especially given the type of player he was. Has he been a little bit unlucky not to have seen more time since then, or was it always going to be likely, given his age and given the squad, that he'd have to be patient for more minutes?
I think his age, the likely the squad, I think he'd always have to bide his time. I think the way that we found the season going, I don't think our managers had the opportunities to put him in for as long as he would have maybe liked. I think he's put him in at moments and trusted him to maybe influence the game and do something towards the end. But Rio, for me, has had a real big year for him individually, you know, being able to come off the bench on a regular basis for the first team. Do I think he's ready to go out and start a game in the Premier League? Not just yet. But he's got all the ability and the attributes to get there, and I think the manager's doing a really good job of like easing him in bit by bit and not expecting too much from him, because he's a very young lad, but he's very mature in the way that he plays the game. He's exciting, you know, he with his step over his combinations, but he's still got so much to learn and he's still got a long way to go, but he could really reach the top. And I think the way that the club have managed him, the manager's managed him, I think it's the right way to go about it.
On the subject of wide players, it was interesting that Newcastle didn't start either Anthony Gore nor Harvey Barnes for the game over in Paris this evening. You wonder if both will come back into the equation on Saturday. But perhaps more than that, is Newcastle's chances of success, or our chances of success, more dependent on whether Bruno Guimarães is fit to start? He missed at the weekend, they lost to Aston Villa, on the bench to begin with this evening.
Yeah.
Such a pivotal player, and that engine room of Newcastle is the real strength of their team, is it not?
I think they played a system tonight to try and get them a result, you know, and that was probably to frustrate PSG for as long as possible and then maybe hit them quite late on in the game to try and get the winner. And maybe that was the way it panned out. They couldn't quite get over the line as far as picking up all 3 points to keep them in the top eight. But it'd be interesting to see what they do on Saturday, whether they come with a back, because Liverpool struggled a little bit against back fives, if you like, threes or five. There isn't as much room to play in behind. So that might have been a system they've employed tonight to try on Saturday. You know, managers do work on situations like that. I fully expect the team to change from the one that started tonight to the one that's going to play against Liverpool. It'll be a fascinating encounter. Play like they did tonight, Liverpool's got every chance, but that's the benchmark. You know, and what I mean by not the scoreline, the benchmark is your attitude, your benchmark is your desire, your benchmark is going out there and working as hard as you did throughout the 90 minutes. It's not playing for 15 and dropping off for 5. It's that consistency of performance, consistency of energy throughout the whole game.
It's interesting, after that win up at St James's Park, we had all the momentum, we had this string of late wins, the victories against Bournemouth, against Newcastle, against Burnley, whoever else it was at the beginning of the season. Newcastle had a more tricky start to the campaign in terms of points, but if you look at the league table going into the weekend, just 3 points separate the sides. But again, we said this quite a lot of late, Jay, but it's one of these moments saying, you know, Liverpool win, it changes the picture a little bit. We keep in touch with the teams above us rather than worrying about teams behind us overtaking us.
Yeah, and again, it's about Liverpool come the weekend. We go out for the win. We're at home at Anfield. We need to make it fortress. We need the players to go out and do exactly like Ray said, do exactly what they've done tonight, building on the foundation of a clean sheet and then going forward and being creative and trying to score goals. It also just shows of how tough this Premier League is. You know, you see Arsenal, they haven't really run away with it, but the teams all around them and even towards the middle of the table, people are beating everybody. You know, no one's really running away with the league this year and being like night and day above everybody else. Every squad or every team are having their moments in the season. You know, Liverpool, like you just said, we started off in a nice moment. Newcastle didn't. They've turned around a little bit. We've been on an unbeaten run. Okay, we haven't won as many as we have. We had a difficult result come the weekend, but what another unbelievable opportunity come Saturday night in front of our own fans. The history in Liverpool-Newcastle game to go out and put a statement. You know, leading into that Man City game the following week, it's a fantastic occasion when you look at it.
Yeah, when you look there, you know, from Man United in fourth down to, you know, 10th position, yeah, it's only 5 points difference. You know, which is really nothing at this stage of the campaign. We've got 15 league games to go, so there's going to be plenty of twists and turns between now and the end of the season. But what you're looking for, if you're a club like Liverpool, you're now looking to put down a marker, start winning a few games, and then you'll get higher up the league.
That is it for this episode of The Reaction. We'll be back again here at Anfield on Saturday night with more analysis and interviews after the Premier League meeting with Newcastle. Until then, if you haven't already, then please do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts. That'll make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop.